it's good to see all of you this morning. Glad to hear you talking to one another, fellowshipping with one another. Yeah, it's good to see you loving on one another. I have been in a few churches where people on this side of the aisle sit there like this. And the folks over here sit there like this. And we're not speaking across the aisle. That makes for an interesting place to preach. But I've been there, done that. But we're glad that you're here and that you're having a good time. And most of all, we're glad that the Lord's here. Yes. He's got a great blessing for us. We look forward to hearing from Him. I don't know how it is, but every time Rita teaches Sunday school, she gets into my sermon. just seemed to work out that way. So if you heard our Sunday school lesson, you're already halfway there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for each person that's gathered here in the Lord's house. Thank you for those that might be in the parking lot. We thank you for those that will be listening later online. We thank you for the joy that we have as believers. Lord, we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We thank you for the joy that it's everlasting. Lord, we think about heaven and all the wonderful, joyous times it's going to be with friends and loved ones. And most of all, just to rejoice with Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you for making that possible. We don't deserve it, never will deserve it, but your grace makes it all possible. And Father, we give you this service. May you be honored, may you be glorified. Touch hearts and lives as you wish, in Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Take your hymnals now and turn to page 359. This is the day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And when we rejoice, what do we do? Or we're happy, aren't we? We're happy. We're glad. Let us be glad in it. So we're going to sing this song happy. We're going to sing it happy. Y'all stand with me. We're going to sing it through two times. Two times. It's short. We're going to sing happy.
No, that's right. This is God's day. He made it. He allowed you and me to wake up this morning. Amen. All of us here have the strength to get out of bed and get here. All of us had clothes to wear. Whether they're the latest fashion or not, we all had something to wear. God's just blessed us over and over again. Again, we welcome you here. I remind you, Wednesday night Bible study. We have a good time on Wednesday nights. Never know sometimes which direction we're going, but we do have a good time, and we invite you to do that. Remember, this is our month, September, for North Carolina Baptist Missions Offering. Part of that money comes back to the local association to be used in missions in our area. I get more excited about the fact that it helps with our North Carolina Baptist-owned mission. And they're all over. In fact, you know, some of them even went to Ukraine whenever the war first started. Every time there's a tornado, hurricane, disaster, flood. Last year, about this time, they were up in the mountains in a community that where I was, pastored. An interesting story just popped in my mind. I talked to the pastor a few weeks ago where I was, and he was asking me if I knew anybody in Australia. I said, Australia? He said, yeah. I said, there's a man that got flooded out last year, and as a result, he got saved. And his wife said, I don't want anything to do with the saved man. So she left him. So he's moved back to Australia, and he's wanting to know if I could hook him up with a church in Australia. Well, I think they're about 1,000, from where he said, I think they're 1,000 miles from my daughter and her husband and their church. It's a little fur for them to drive on Sunday morning. But I pointed them in the right direction. You know, you never know. I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't one of our North Carolina Baptists on mission that led this man to Jesus. So I get excited about that offering, and I pray that, and we usually do too here at Barber's Grove, and so give as the Lord leads you. Remember also the Golden Agers playing a mountain trip October the 11th. And there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board. And if you're interested in going, would you sign up so they'll know what type of transportation they need? Most of the time we have a good fellowship when we go and have a great time and stop by and bring back a few bushels of apples. So October the 11th on a Tuesday. Any other announcements that we need to make? Baptist Men's Retreat, October the 15th, 16th. All right.
And just so you know, I'd like to meet the Baptist Men real quick. Take 5 minutes, I promise.
All right.
And for the stewardship committee, the annual budget request forms for all the other committees are in your mailboxes. If you would work through those and get them back to us as quickly as we can. I think we asked for them by the 11th or something like that, September, but I failed to announce them, so they're back there. We'd like to have them by the end of the month. So.
Okay.
Stewardship can start meeting and get next year's budget.
All right. Any other announcements? As you see, I'm not Brother Leonard. He's on vacation today, so pray for him. Prayer request. Ronnie Tucker family. Ronnie passed away. Others that we need to remember.
I mentioned my sister-in-law, but she's on a prayer list. But she's been really sick for the past 10 days.
Okay. Janice's sister-in-law. Anyone else?
Pastor, I know I have been asking for prayer since the middle of 2020, but I have fabulous praise report, and I just want to thank y'all for praying for me and putting up with me when I say, hey, I need prayer because I'm not feeling so well. I got my test results for my diabetes, my A1C, and they're lower than they've been in 15 years, and so I'm extremely excited with with God's help, because I've been praying about it and lifestyle changes and some advice from Wes back there, I've gotten them down to where that we're real excited. The good news is I'm going to meet with my doctor Thursday and hopefully can come off with insulin. I'm not taking, but, you know, 1 to 5 units just as needed, so I'm hoping I can come off of it. But that's just been a big prayer, because I was almost up to 40 units of insulin a day over the last couple of months. So pray for me that there, and give yourself a hand for praying for me and helping me get through all of this. And I know it was God and you guys praying. Robert's going to have cataract surgery on Wednesday, so if you'll just pray for a good result for him. And then next weekend, we are traveling to Michigan for a family wedding, so if you'll just pray for travel mercies for us next weekend.
Thank you. All right, anyone else? Yeah, let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you know all things. You know about the family that's lost the loved one. You know about this sister-in-law that Janice mentioned. You know about Robert's surgery. You know Kathy's praise report. And Father, you know those hidden thoughts and prayers that we didn't share out loud with the church, but they rise up from the depths of our very being. And Father, today, I thank you that you care. I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you want to meet those needs. I thank you that your arms of love and encouragement and comfort surround us in every way. Lord, I do thank you that there are praise reports where you've answered prayer. Father, I pray for our nation. Lord, there's so many things that need to take place. Lord, I pray that we might experience a move of God in this nation. Lord, it's not politics. It's Jesus we need. It's not Democrats, Republicans, independents. It's Jesus we need. And Lord, we know that when Jesus gets a hold of our hearts, things will change. Father, may Jesus be lifted up in this nation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, take your hymnals again and turn to page 250. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And under the title there, it says, The Grace of Jesus Christ, the Love of God, the Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And aren't we thankful for all of that? Stand with me as we sing, please. We'll sing all the verses. Thank you.
What?
Kids dismissed?
Kids are dismissed. Thank Rita for leading our music today. And I hope you really thought about the words in that last song. I've never sung it before, but it's some great words in that song. We need to think about who our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity, is. You know, in our day, if there's a disaster, you know, tornado, hurricane, something like that on its way, they'll break in on the TV screen and say, breaking news, tornado been spotted over Locust or wherever. And even after they make that, you know, they'll trail it across the bottom of the screen. Some of you with your smartphones, it'll ding, some kind of special ding, and you'll look at it and it'll say, tornado spotted, hurricane bearing down, strong winds. We're used to that kind of thing. Now, but if you go back a few hundred years, and you really don't have to go back that long, before computers, before smartphones, most of the time, our alerts were by horn. I remember being in Boy Scout camp, and they played taps at night so that hopefully all of us boys would hush up and go to sleep. Didn't happen, but that's what they played taps for. And then we hated it when they played reveille in the morning, time to get up. Some of you guys in the military, you know how that was. Remember on the old Western movies when the cavalry and the bugler played charge? And I don't know, but I understand that there was a charge and there was a at rest and there was a retreat as well as the others. But it all had to do with the horn. And even that's not new. If you look back in the Old Testament, back to the days of Nehemiah when he was building the wall, rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, they had enemies that were threatening to attack them. And so Nehemiah says, you build with one hand, keep your weapon in the other hand, and I've got a man with a trumpet beside of me, and if you hear that trumpet, you drop your stones and your trowels and grab your weapon, and you come to wherever the trumpet sound is because there's going to be a fight on our hands. It all had to do with the horn. In the book of 1 Corinthians, and I'll tell you where to look in a minute, Paul is discussing prophecy, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and he makes a statement that goes far beyond that. He makes a statement that I want us to consider this morning as a lifestyle statement. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? He said, if that person playing the trumpet doesn't give a clear message, you don't know whether to go to bed, get up, charge, or retreat. Let me give you a little example. Bonjour, où est la bagnaro? What did I just say? Bonjour, it's good morning. Où est la bagnaro? It's where's the bathroom? At least that's the way I remember it from the Brazilian Portuguese, from the... But see, if you don't know Portuguese, you don't get it. You've got to know. And Paul asked the question, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, how do you know to prepare for battle? And this morning I want us to consider at least two or three different areas of whether our lives give a certain sound or an uncertain sound. And the first is this: we need to be giving a clear message to unsaved people about the way of salvation. We need to be giving a clear message to unsaved people about the way of salvation. Now, I remember as a kid walking over to West Albemarle Baptist Church on Wednesday nights for prayer meeting. And back when I was, and I'm talking about 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, it was a big deal. Two things I remember about those. One, we always had a count off to see if we had more people under the age of 25 or more people over the age of 25. Now, I know that sounds strange today, but sometimes we under 25 had more people than the older 25. Then, you know, they'd get out and work on their relatives, and the next week they'd have a few more. And I think there's mostly probably 50, 75 people there a lot of Wednesday nights. But the other thing I remember is that we had several deacons who had gotten saved as adults. And almost every Wednesday night, it seemed, one of those deacons would be giving his testimony about what Jesus had done in his life. About the fact that Jesus had come into his life when he was a sinner. He was lost. He was on his way to hell. And Jesus saved him. And they were excited about sharing the way of salvation. The first time I heard somebody say there are many roads to God, it was on an old cowboy movie 70 years ago. I thought it was cute then. Now I realize it's a lie. Jesus didn't say, I am a way, a truth, a life. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, the life. We need to be giving a clear message to the lost world that the only way to heaven is Jesus. There are not many ways. Now, I realize that in our culture today, there are a lot of folks that think, well, this the Buddhist way and the Muslim way and the Confucius way and the Hindu way, they're all just as good as the Christian way. That's not what the Bible teaches. Now, we don't need to be hard to get along with. We don't need to be obnoxious. We don't need to be confrontive. But we need to be giving a clear message that the way to heaven is Jesus. Now, it's not always that way. I remember in a time of, we had a lay witness group come in and do some witnessing on a weekend. And I had a deacon tell me, you keep them away from my 14-year-old daughter. By now, that daughter's probably 60 years old, and as far as I know, never got saved. He was not giving a clear message to his daughter that Jesus was the only way to heaven. Now, Jesus is the only way to heaven. And if we don't give that message out, you know, if we're with family and we're with friends, we're with coworkers, and they say, well, I believe any old way, just as long as I believe this, that, or the other, as long as I'm baptized, as long as I was sprinkled as a baby, as long as I'm a member of a church, I had one relative said, as long as I keep the Ten Commandments. Like I said, we don't need to be confrontive, hostile, but in a clear, calm way. God gave you a free will. You can believe what you believe. You can choose to believe or not believe. But I just want you to understand, the Bible says there's only one way, and that way is Jesus. Now, what you do with that, that's up to you. But here's what I believe. Probably 40 years ago, I read that the North Carolina Baptist Convention did a survey across the state and asked the question, do you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? And some old boy says, that's what my preacher believes. Now, wait a minute. What do you believe? If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, how do people know to prepare for battle? If we don't give a clear message that Jesus is the only way to heaven, the only way to salvation, how will people know whether or not they need to accept Jesus? Or will they think, I was baptized, I was sprinkled, I keep the Ten Commandments, I don't beat my wife, I'm a pretty good person, I'm better than that person over there. If we don't do that, if we don't give a clear message about salvation, how will they know about getting saved? Second thing that we need to consider is giving a clear message about spiritual discipline. A clear message about spiritual discipline. The importance of Bible study, prayer, church attendance. Using our finances, our resources for spiritual and godly things. You know, as others look at my life, look at your life, listen to us talk, do they discern Jesus is important to that person? Their church is really, really vitally important to them. Their heart is in giving to missions. And when I talk about giving to missions, you and the Lord have your own conversation. I know that some of you are vitally interested in the children's home. Fantastic. Others are vitally interested in Lottie Moon, foreign missions. Wonderful. It's not an either or. It's how the Lord is leading. I know that there are churches that do hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Samaritan shoeboxes. I know a lady that started buying for shoeboxes back last year in November after they sent off the shoeboxes for last year. And her husband says, you know, we got an outbuilding that's full of stuff and a spare bedroom that's full of stuff. This lady buys for shoeboxes all year long, and she and her husband probably do 200 or 300 just by themselves. They have a passion for it. What's our passion? Personally, Pamela and I give certain ministries as well as to our church here. There's always 2 or 3 that I can't give as much to as I'd like to. But Lord, this one seems to be more important this month. The point is, do people look at us? And especially our kids and our grandkids. Do they see us reading our Bible? Do they see us praying? Do they observe in our lives that it's important to us, church? That's one thing about my mom. She was going to church no matter what. I don't know how many times after I moved to Siler City and I'd come back and help Dad on the farm and go back to the house for supper and Mom say, I'm on my way to church. January Bible study, revival, home mission study, whatever. You want to go? Well, Mom, I'm dirty. I've been mucking out stables or something. Well, you can go on like that. It's okay. They won't mind. She said, if I said, well, I just can't go tonight. She said, well, I'll be back in an hour. Mom set an example that says, boys, this is the way it's going to be. Mom set an example in other ways. Now, I think most of you know my name is George Edward. Most of the time it was Ed or Eddie. But if I heard, now George, I knew that Mom was about to deal with something in my life where I was doing wrong or saying wrong or not doing right or whatever. Because Mom was setting an example that 70 years later still resonates in my spirit. And once in a while, even though she's been in heaven now for a dozen years or more, I still hear, now George. Occasionally my wife uses it too. But the thing is, we need to give a clear message about the importance of spiritual discipline. If we're up on, if people observe that we're up on the latest TV programs and the latest movies and the latest other things, and we don't have a clue spiritually, we're giving an unclear message. I love to do crossword puzzles. They're getting harder. Not because I'm older and my brain's slowing down. It's because now so many of the clues have rappers and movie stars and singers. And I don't have a clue who these people are. I was looking at my phone the other day and it said something about the 20 greatest movies or something or whatever. And I realized I hadn't seen a single one of them. Folks, a clear message about salvation and a clear message about the importance of spiritual discipline. And the third thing is here, we need to give a clear message about godly living. And like the Sunday school lesson Rita was teaching, It's not just what we say about our faith, it's the way we live. It's not just what we say, it's our lifestyle. Do people look at our lives? When they look at our lives, do they see godliness and holiness and righteousness? Christ-like spirit. What do they see when they look at our lives? We'll give you some negative examples. Wish you didn't have to. Wish you didn't know them. But I remember years ago talking to a young man. You know, he's probably in his 40s. He had two daughters who were 12, 14-ish. About his need to bring in his family to church. And he said, "Preacher, if you knew which of your church members were at the same dive I'm at on Saturday night, you'd just shut up." But there at that same beer joint or whatever it was on Saturday night and at your church on Sunday morning. Well, what am I going to say? They're giving him an unclear trumpet call about what it means to be a Christian. They still have the stock sale down at Norwood. I know two preachers. Now, not at Norwood, in other parts of the state. That I'm told are the most foul-mouthed guys at the stock sale. One of them's now dead. The other one's probably 60 years old. And I asked about him in the last 6 months, and they said he hadn't changed. Now that's giving an unclear message. What do those lost people at that stock sale think? When somebody says, "This is preacher so-and-so from such and such a church," and they're listening to foul mouth, vulgar speech coming out of his mouth. That's an unclear message. And we need to be giving a clear message of what it means to really be a holy person. It's one thing to walk the aisle and say, "I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, baptize me." It's another thing to live a godly and a holy life. And it makes me a hypocrite if I stand here at the pulpit and talk to you about living for Jesus and then I go out and I'm blankety-blank this and blankety-blank that and blankety-blank something else. That's an unclear message. Paul says, if the trumpet give an unclear sound, who's going to prepare for battle? I know of another situation where a church member went to a lost man who was visiting their church. And said, "Would you go to your job site and steal something for me?" Sort of hard to witness to a lost man who's just been asked to steal from his job site by a church member. We see it a lot in politics. Shouldn't get into that, but I'm a member of such and such a church, such and such a denomination, and then they vote and act everything contrary to the teachings of their church, their denomination. We give an unclear message, an unclear sound. No wonder the unsaved world is confused and they wonder, "Who are you Christians? What difference does it make?" I look at my life and I look at your life and I don't see much difference. And folks, I know we're all a work in progress. None of us have got have reached perfection yet? I don't think. Anybody reached perfection yet? Just go ahead and lie and raise your hand. No, we don't reach perfection. But it can be a striving, a desire of our heart. I doubt when Brenda first started playing the piano, the organ, it was perfect. But it got better. It got better. And so it is with any of us. In living the godly Christian life, we start out where we are. We start out with what we have, and then we go on from there. How did Paul put it in Romans 12? I beseech ye therefore, brethren, that you present your minds a living sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a transformation that takes place over a period of time as we grow and mature in the Lord. And just like I probably understand 20 or 30 words in Portuguese, but that's about all. But if I were in Brazil for a while, I could learn some more. We can learn to be a better witness for Jesus. Oh, friends, how can people prepare for salvation if we don't give a clear sound? How does the old song go? Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Your life's a book before their eyes. They're reading it through and through. Say, does it point them to the skies? Do others see Jesus in you? You and I are God's trumpet to somebody. Let's give a clear sound. May our faith produce the kind of godly works that say Jesus is real, Jesus is important, Jesus is the only way to heaven. Point people only to Jesus. Show them Christian discipline and show them how to live a godly life. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? If there's somebody here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, would you just step out right now and walk down this aisle? And I'll meet you and we'll talk to you about being a Christian, about being a believer in Jesus. Anybody that needs Jesus is their Lord and Savior. Then let's each one of us and sort of do an investigation, spiritual inventory. How clear is the trumpet sound? That I'm giving off to those who look at my life day by day. Father, we thank you that you lead us into all truth. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who's our guide, who convicts, who teaches. Father, I pray for myself that I might be a godly example. That in everything I say, everything I write, everything I do, everything I preach, might be a clear sound from heaven. Father, I pray that for each person that's heard this message today. Lord, in this confused, mixed up world that doesn't know which way to turn, May we sound forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, clear, distinct, unmistakable. So that when we stand before you, their blood would be on their hands, not ours. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.